Well, with all that's been going on, it's hard for me to believe that. I got to get my sound worked out here. Yeah, with all that's been going on, it's hard for me to believe that we've already reached this fifth Sunday in Lent. I was telling Jeanette the other day that sometimes it feels like I'm stuck in a bad dream as we make our way through this pandemic. And another thing that's happened to me is that my sense of time has somehow been skewed. Some days shoot by like a laser, and other days I feel like I'm in molasses. You know, it's like slow motion. And so it's good to be together with you in community here at the church. To be reminded this morning that even though our world has been turned upside down by this pandemic, nevertheless, God's time is marching on, and our liturgical year is moving us closer and closer to that grand finale of Jesus' time on this earth, that time when Jesus suffers death on the cross, but then is raised to new life on Easter morning. And all of that will be observed and celebrated before very much longer. And so, in spite of all that may be going on around us or within us during these stressful and frightening days, you can be assured this morning that this world and your life and the lives of those you love and the lives of all of God's children belong to God. And even in light of this pandemic, that God's vision for us and for all of creation will indeed come to pass, all in God's time. Now, when we think about this beautiful story today of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead, the first thing that comes to my mind is that on this fifth Sunday of Lent, this story is foreshadowing, or it's pointing the way to Jesus' own death and resurrection. And so by bringing Lazarus back from the dead, Jesus glorifies God. But he also sets in motion the events that will lead to his own death and his own resurrection. And so when Jesus goes to Bethany in this story, it is here at the tomb of his friend Lazarus that Jesus is faced with the reality of death. Not only the death of Lazarus, but he's also face to face with his own death. And not in a theological or ethereal way, but Jesus in this gospel story comes face to face with death here in Bethany in a very real way. And then we notice in this story that when Jesus is confronted by the death of Lazarus, Jesus actually does something. Jesus acts. In fact, Jesus brings to bear the most powerful force in the universe, namely the power of God to create and to sustain and to bring forth life. And because Jesus loves Lazarus, Jesus uses the death of Lazarus to illustrate to Lazarus and to those standing around and to you and me the life-giving power of God's love when Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. And so as this story unfolds, there are a couple of points that John, who wrote this gospel, wants us to see. First, there's this. Jesus takes very seriously the reality of death. In fact, as we look at the story, John makes it clear that Lazarus is really dead. He is graveyard dead. Lazarus is 4 days dead by the time Jesus arrives. And we all know that the rabbis taught that even after just 3 days, all that would remain of Lazarus would be a rotting corpse. Now, as Lazarus' sister Martha says, well, Jesus, if you had just gotten here sooner, maybe you could have done something. But not now. You see, Lazarus has died. Death has claimed Lazarus. And so, as Jesus stands there before the tomb of his friend, what does Jesus see? What does Jesus feel inside? Jesus sees the reality of death in the form of a stone-cold tomb. And Jesus begins to feel, welling up inside him, the force, the sheer power, the heavy weight of death. Standing there before that tomb amid the sounds of weeping, the reality of Lazarus' death sinks in. Jesus is shaken. Jesus becomes deeply troubled. Jesus weeps. In this story, there's nothing high-handed or glib here. There's no stiff upper lip. There's no rosy denial for Jesus. Death has had the final say. Lazarus, Jesus' friend, is no more. And as you and I look on, the message in this scene is clear. As followers of Jesus, just like for him, death is real to us. And for us followers of Jesus, those tears Jesus sheds at the tomb of Lazarus, those tears of Jesus make holy every tear you or I shed when we grieve the loss of one we love. Here at the tomb of Lazarus, Jesus sanctifies our grief. So yes, for Jesus, death is real. But there is a second point John wants us to see in this story, and this is that point. Death may be real, but God is Lord both of the living and the dead. Death may be real, but God, Abba, the Father of Jesus, is Lord even over death. And it's this powerful reality that Jesus actually acts out for us in this story. When Jesus orders the stone to be removed, and when Jesus calls forth Lazarus from his grave. As the Messiah, as God with us, in human form, Jesus is Lord of both the living and the dead. And the voice of Jesus calling Lazarus out of his grave is the voice of God's love. And this voice of Jesus is a powerful voice. And the voice of Jesus carries. The voice of Jesus sends into that situation, into Lazarus, the life-giving love of God, his Father, his Creator. And the love that Jesus delivers to Lazarus and to us carries. The power of that voice carries even through the walls of the grave. Jesus' voice is a clear voice. Jesus' voice delivers to Lazarus and to you and me the strongest word and the final word. And so it is that even though death is real, nevertheless, the Logos, that is the Word of God we see in Jesus, that Word of God, that purpose of God, that life-giving love of God cannot be stopped. It will not be stopped, even by death. God in His Son Jesus is Lord even over death. Now, as we celebrate today Jesus' raising of Lazarus, What can we take away from this story for ourselves in our present situation? How is God speaking to you and me today in this gospel from John? Well, it turns out that the name Lazarus is a shortened form of the name Eliezer, and the name Eliezer means God helps. And Lazarus is from a town whose name Bethany means literally house of affliction. And so we get from John's gospel today the story of how God helps one who suffers from affliction. Lazarus is the one who is Jesus' friend, whom Jesus loves. And Lazarus represents all those whom Jesus loves who suffer from affliction, all those whom God chooses to help. Well, do you know anyone who's suffering from an affliction today? Do you know a community or a nation, even a world, that needs God's help this morning? Well, of course we do. We all need God's help with us today. And so you see, in this gospel reading, you and I are Lazarus. And now Jesus is coming to us. Jesus is coming to us in our place of affliction, our Bethany. Jesus is coming to us. And just like in the story, the affliction we see around us is real. This virus is real, and its threat is real, and we need to take it seriously. We need to take whatever measures we need to take to protect ourselves and to protect one another. This pandemic, this affliction we are in, creates stress for everybody. It upends our way of life. This virus, this pandemic, wreaks havoc and fear wherever it goes. And in its wake, it leaves behind weakened bodies and sometimes bereaved families and communities. It can cause to well up within us a dark and fearful mood. It can dampen our spirits. It can make us cynical. But folks, here's the good news from this gospel for today. The God we worship and the Father of Jesus is Lord over all, even Lord over this pandemic. And God has seen the affliction of His people, and now Jesus is arriving at our Bethany, our place of affliction. The Spirit of Jesus has come to us now, and it will be by His Spirit within us and working through us, and often in ways we may not perceive, that God will lead us through these days and continue to heal this world. Amen.